Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Memorial Day Sale and get 30% off paints and stains May 15th through the 28th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Caroline, Willie, D-Mays, 1025-1063, The Game and The Game Nashville app. We are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios. I am on remote today, but Willie and D-Mays are live from Pete and Terry's Tavern at Bridgestone Arena because the Predators are in action tonight, hosting Ryan Johansson and the Colorado Avalanche. Puck drop is at 7 o'clock, and all of your pregame coverage starts right here on 1025 and 1063, The Game, right at 6 p.m. We're awaiting Mike Vrabel at the podium. What do you want to hear from Vrabel? Like, what do you think the fans want to hear from Vrabel? I saw someone in the text line saying they want to hear Vrabel resign when he takes the podium.
That's not going to happen. I mean, I don't think there's anything.
Oh, sorry, D-Mays. I hate to interrupt you, okay. But Mike Vrabel did just get to the podium, so we'll send it right over to him.
Field and get it to translate in the game so that you're able to
play better, not beat ourselves, get into the flow of the game, start complimenting each other. You know, there was an opportunity and, we had a turnover and then again allowed the score. So defense has to be, we've had opportunities for sudden change and we've done well, in sudden change. And it just didn't seem to happen that way yesterday. But you go on the road and you get a stop and you hit a play and you start to get some momentum, and that gets derailed, and then defensively you have an opportunity to go out and get the ball back, and again that didn't happen, and so we'll have to get back to those things and taking care of the football, and then turning it over, trying to get some turnovers.
Will and a couple guys said that they felt like practice didn't translate to the game. Do you feel like that's the case? And if so, like, what's the disconnect? You hit it there, I guess, but what's the disconnect between carrying over what you do during the week to the test that you talk about?
Yeah, there's only, only one day that matters. And, I would say trying to continue to, formulate those practices and make sure that we always try to create practice in a manner in which you played a game, and then we're trying to do it with pace and with tempo, give them enough speed looks that they can feel comfortable about what they're doing, but then also realizing where we're at in the season and who's available and how much they can go and what speed capacity and based on injury and health and, all those things. And just looking at, ultimately, the more exposure and you get into those games and, you only have a few opportunities to go out there. And, we can say that there's a bunch of plays, but there's a handful of plays that if you're able to make them, swing the outcome, differently or make it much more competitive in yesterday's case.
Despite the results, are you seeing week-to-week improvement from Will at the quarterback position as you bring him along? And also in that regard, how's he doing as far as not making the same mistake twice like you preach?
Well, the making the same mistake twice is something that's probably been pretty good. And I thought there was a couple – decisions there that we can't make. You can't throw that ball, going to your left and throwing it. Whether he didn't see Hop on the sidelines there as the play extended. But those should be turnovers. Those are turnover-worthy plays. And, you know, we need to limit those. You know, again, the ability to throw the ball down the field has been, you know, a positive. You know, the decision making I think has been pretty good. You know, yesterday was probably a few examples, but you know, again, it's a process, and each week is different, and you know, we have to come back and again have to continue to improve at the quarterback position and then everywhere else.
Mike, how does Amani, a safety, end up on their best receiver down around the red zone on the third down that they ended up scoring the touchdown to Ridley?
The coverage that we were in, and I would, you know, probably argue that at this point in time, Amani's probably one of our better options back there to cover anybody.
With the safeties, just have you felt like Kayvon and Terrell and some of these new guys have come along trying to fill KB's shoes since the trade?
They've all played and they showed up and made some plays, had some plays they'd like to have back, and you know, both of them were in and out of the game yesterday. You know, Kayvon didn't finish it. Mike Brown played, Terrell played. So, again, I think that their attitudes are great. Their willingness. Kayvon had a few plays there early, where he showed up. And but again, I think just making sure that, you know, the communication is sound and that we're not, you know, letting guys run free and had a few mistakes and, you know, have to get back to work.
The team overall, what would you say are some examples of you still having a firm hold, a firm control of the locker room, so to speak?
I've never, you know, are you questioning that? I'm not sure. Is that something that you're quite, you know, just, are you questioning, Teron, my control of the locker room?
I'm asking
you're questioning it.
No, what I'm asking you is for examples of how you still have. I'm not saying you do or don't have control of it. What I want to know is what are some examples of you having control?
The same ones that I've had since I got here. I mean, that's – I don't know how to do it any other way. You know, be honest with them. You know, coach them. You know, and I, you know, have not – I don't know. I haven't really thought about it because I don't, you know, I don't think, you know, that there, you know, that's an issue. You know, I wish we would win. I wish we were winning. I wish we were better. But we're not. I'm not going to compromise the things that I believe that, you know, are going to help us win, and about the details and about, you know, the little things and not letting those slide and doing my best to hold everybody accountable, you know, including myself, as we go through this.
Is there anything that you feel, or what makes you feel that it's going to remain that way, even if, you know, you guys should happen to keep losing? Like, what gives you confidence that you could?
Well, the players in there, you know, I think that, you know, you got to build something, and with the people that you trust. And. And again, we've always said about, you know, culture is defining yourselves by what you look like, you know, when things aren't well, things aren't great right now, and we know what they are. And so, you know, we've got to count on our leadership and, you know, and then finding out. And if there are guys like that, it, you know, exposing them, and then we certainly don't want them here, and I don't think there are guys like that.
Are you thinking the culture is good right now in the locker room?
Yeah, I don't think we have bad culture. I think we've lost. I don't think we, you know, if I looked overall, I would say, you know, I mean, we, you know, again, we're busting our ass. We try to block extra points. You know, I know it sounds silly and ridiculous, but when you look around and, you know, again, you can judge some of that on the effort of, you know, the guy saying, you know, I'm going to do everything I can. I'm going to play every snap. We don't, you know, again, we hate to be in 4 minute. We hate to be in that situation. You know, Harold Landry's out there, you know, fighting, competing, you know, at the end of the game, just like everybody else. We made some substitutions. But I'm confident that we're gonna fight and we're gonna compete. We just didn't win.
As we talked to guys yesterday, there were several that kind of shook their head and said, I have no idea. And maybe
so, yeah, no, I mean, Jacksonville's better. They're a better football team. Well, they're better coach, and they're a better team right now. So none of us would be able to do anything after that game yesterday. And I know that we're going to come back to work tomorrow and have a plan and see who's available and get to work.
Why wait until the game is out of reach when you guys kind of dipped into the bag on the trick plays?
Ran a reverse there, second play of the game, that third play of the game that got us down. Ran some screens and just the opportunity to present itself and being in a situation where on the reverse pass. Trying to be in a position where you score a touchdown on that. So, they were sprinkled throughout the game. And I disagree that we waited. I think that's, the one showed up. But we had, I think, throughout the game, like I said, early in the game, the reverse that got us 38 yards was a good example of that.
Do you think you need to sort of change the way you coach or approach your guys, given like the circumstances of this season? You've never really coached a team that has been falling out of contention at this point in the year. Does it change your approach to the day-to-day?
I hope not. No, I hope that I come in with energy. I hope I come in with passion for coaching and teaching and making sure that we understand how we have to play and try to correct them and have energy at practice and listen to them and demand and hold them accountable and all those things that I feel like I try to do.
Fourth and one in the third quarter in your own territory, 20-0. I know it's
sure
hard pressed.
It could be, yeah. Yeah, of course I thought about it. Of course I thought about it. Thought about trying to punt and see if we couldn't keep them back there and try to keep it at 20. Just tried to weigh, both sides of it. That's what I was doing, Paul, and decided on that one at the 30-yard line to kick it.
With Fulton, he and Trey Avery, they split some time. Was that, did he tweak something or was that
Oh, no, that was coach's decision.
Okay. What was going wrong for Christian to make you want to?
I don't know what was going wrong. I just felt like it was needed to be better, and we've had a conversation, and I'll keep that between him and I, and we'll try to move on to this week. But that's getting beat is one thing, just making sure that we're executing the call and the scheme, and corners are going to get beat. I think they're going to get beat by wide receivers, especially ones that we played yesterday. And so that wasn't the reason that I tried to put Trey in there. There were some other reasons that, Christian and I talked about.
Rodgers Day, I got flagged a couple of times and gave up one on the sideline.
Well, again, corners are going to get beat. Roger challenges. Roger's, competitive. I didn't see the TV copy yet of the first one. I think that one probably – I probably would say that disagree with the call. I don't think he restricted him. I think the receiver, that's what happens on 95% of those passes at the sticks on third down. The deep ball, again, where we're at right now, we get a little bit of pressure, and instead of tipping the pass, we hit the quarterback's arm. So now the ball's underthrown. The receiver comes back for the ball, and we get DPI as opposed to somehow – tipping that football and then DPI not being in effect. So again, Roger, not without fault, but he's competitive and he tries to challenge and had a win on short 2 minute when they tried to throw over there on the sidelines. So that was positive. He showed up and tackled a few times and but again, just we all need to be better.
What's your assessment of Raidens and Duncan at the tackles?
I thought it was good to have Jalen get the opportunity. He'd been working hard, and we've been working through some, some different lineups up front. And he had a role XL jumbo role, which he, you know, put some time into and was excited to use that, and then got in there at tackle. And, you know, I would say from a execution standpoint, or, you know, understanding and assignment standpoint, was good. I think the execution could always be better, but it's a good place to start. I'm excited about, you know, if we'll be able to see him this week.
Just how much of a hit was it to the game plan when Chris went out and you guys weren't able to go to that as much anymore?
Well, it was just, again, it was a way to get a young player in there, a young tackle in there, to some work. We could still run some of those plays. And but it just felt like that's a good way to introduce a young lineman who hasn't had a lot of game reps into the game, and, you know, get him some work and then see how he handles it and then progress on. So, you know, he'll probably play more tackle this week.
Mike, are you thinking at all at this point in time about any coaching staff changes given the issues that seem to be repeating themselves?
No.
You're saying Jalen may play more tackles, uh-huh. Chris potentially going to miss some time?
Yes.
You have hope that you get Traylon back practicing at some point once he's still kind
of. Once he clears through protocol. Once him and Dillard clear through protocol, you know, when the trainers and the doctors say that, you know, that's on to their next step, then they'll practice. And so I don't know where that is right now, other than to say that today they wouldn't have been able to practice, and tomorrow could potentially be something different as they progress through.
You talked yesterday about snapping 100 footballs instead of snapping 50, but at what point do you make a change at that position when you're having the same issue of snapping the football?
Well, Bruce played some good football for us. And, you know, he's done some good things, done some really good things. And, you know, we just have to, you know, we have to clean it up. You know, and I guess, you know, not to say that we would never make a change, but that I don't anticipate making a change. I would want to just make sure that we're executing the play from the time that we start it and get the snap and give ourselves a chance. And, you know, Brew knows that, and, you know, we'll continue to work on it.
And the frustration is growing, but like it seemed to be yesterday in the locker room, do you have to change your messaging? Or you're very consistent in how you do it, but it obviously has gotten to 3-7 at this point. Do you have to change anything down the stretch in your approach?
Well, man, I try to figure out what's best for the team each and every week. And when I show them, and, you know, the good stuff and the stuff that's been getting us beat, and we'll keep coming to work, we'll keep grinding away, we'll keep trying different rotations and, you know, do everything that we can and making sure that these guys improve. And when we improve, then we'll win.
Expect Murphy Bunting back this week?
He did a little bit last week, so I would say that it's trending more positively, but again, just the contact with, you know, the thumb and everything else, we'll have to see how that does throughout the week.
Why is the improvement taking so long, do you think?
Well, there's obviously ways to develop players, and I think different players develop at different rates and different speeds. We've got some younger guys and some guys that, you know, haven't been here. We've worked through different combinations on the offensive line through injury. Had some guys out. You know, so again, making sure that we're creative in the ways that we develop these guys and that we're showing them and explaining to them and giving them opportunities for small victories, whether it's Jalen who, you know, handled a role and then he'll get another role, or it's TK who plays in a game, continues to develop. You know, Monty Rice, challenge him to do well on special teams and perform there, which in turn would lead to some defensive snaps, which he has gotten, and I would say has taken advantage of those, has been active. You know, just, you know, different examples of that throughout the roster. So, you know, it's all bringing it. It's bringing it all together in all three phases. You know, Colton Dow. You know, gave him an opportunity. He'll get more yesterday. Showed some speed. So, as a gunner, showed some size, and, you know, did a nice job in some of the return units, and that's something that he hasn't done a ton of, and it was good to see him take advantage of that.
Do you get impatient, or do you fight impatience? You're talking about small things, which I understand add up, but collectively it seems slow.
Well, when you lose, it is, and then trying to find examples, of that, right? To make sure that our ultimate goal is winning. We understand that, but again, also understand where we're at right now in this season. And I think that if you can improve, then we're going to lead to victories. And that's what I've said. We can't worry about winning before we worry about improving. We're going to have to do some things, better. And I'm excited about that challenge. Excited about, getting back to work.
You brought up yesterday that only playing 40 snaps offensively. Just when you went back and watched the tape, was that kind of the old standards of getting behind the sticks on first down sort of thing? Or was there something new you identified about why the team was struggling to sustain those drives?
Well, we had some unforced errors again. We snapped the ball bad, and we snap it bad again, and then the back goes the wrong way one time, and then we snap it bad. We have a false start, and then we follow that up with another false start.
Mike, why can't this team figure out punt returner?
Yeah, I mean, I thought Eric's done a nice job. I don't know. I thought he's caught him well. It'd be like saying every time, when Derek fumbled last year, it'd be like saying that, why can't we figure out, Derek, he fumbled. I think that's probably a little different than, catching him. It's not like we haven't gone through and had guys, catch the ball or about five or six different guys. I think that the fumble and the rake and the, I would probably say that's under the category of we have to do a better job of protecting the guy with the ball, and he knows that, but also not letting that guy, the long snapper who was talented and had three tackles, we have to do a better job of protecting the returner. And Eric's caught him, he'll continue to catch him, and ball security is critical.
Ravens with the false starts, or Brewer with the high snaps, why is it taking the time it is for those things to get correct?
Right. We continue. I'll just keep coaching it. I'm gonna keep blasting the music and keep getting them to concentrate the best that we can. Keep working with Brew about different blocks that he may have to execute, and where he's moving, and making sure that the snap is the most important thing, and then wherever he has to go and make sure that he's not moving too fast to snap the football.
Guys on this roster,
I said we'll blast the music, we'll play the music louder.
Are there enough guys on this roster that have earned your trust that they're going to do the right thing and make the right play consistently, play in, play out?
Are there enough guys that I trust? Yeah, we trust a lot. I mean, whether we make the play, I don't know. We have some mental errors. And again, I think that we're working at it, but we'll make sure that they understand the plan, give them my opportunity to go out there and have, trust and confidence in what they're doing, and get a win. But yesterday was, is disappointing. But we're gonna get back to work. We're gonna make sure that our guys are confident when they go out there. Have a plan on third down defensively. I've already had conversations with some players, and they're explaining things that they think, and they said, we have to understand that whatever the detail is, that has to be better to help us do our job, and I'm confident that we'll keep doing that.
Are you giving up anything with the Tuesday Thursday split in terms of speed or physicality or recovery?
No, I don't. At this point in time, I don't know how much speed and physicality. I've, you know, try to get the most out of these walkthrough periods that we've had. You know, showing them as many possible plays as we can versus as many different looks of our plays that we have in versus things that they have. Those have been beneficial. And, you know, there's just only so many full speed opportunities in a week. So that's the schedule that we're going with. And I think that we'll get more out of that being focused on Tuesday and Wednesday, you know, than we would for half a day on Thursday.
When it comes to not making changes on the coaching staff, you talk about, you know, just going back out there and coaching it and repping it and things like that. What gives you the confidence that coaching it and repping it with the same coaches?
Because I have the luxury of having played this game in this league. And I know what we're coaching. I know what we're teaching. I never blamed Dean Pease or Matt Patricia or Bill Belichick or Romeo Crennel or Rob Ryan. I mean, I couldn't get to the pass rusher, or I missed a tackle, or I went the wrong way. And that's the luxury that I have. Never blamed a coach for my let me finish, and then you can interrupt me. And so I know what we're coaching, and I know what we're teaching. I'm in the meetings. You know, we're going to continue to find ways to help our players and to demand that they play with great effort and improve our details, improve our fundamentals, because I know that that's what works. Go ahead.
Well, these players may not be as good as you. So when you, as a player,
my comment had nothing to do with my ability. It was my perspective.
Right.
That was
in the past. When it's come to the perspective, you've talked about the training staff and the injuries, and you've said that you never blamed a trainer as a player
for
injuries. But then guys like AJ, who get injured here, David Long, go off and they play in these other places. And so at that point, it starts to become, well, maybe it could be that issue that you are not considering.
I appreciate and certainly understand that. You know, there's going to be guys, I'm not going to debate whether guys go on and get injured. Like, I'm not going to talk about AJ. I have a great relationship with AJ, and, you know, David Long was a player that we've had here for many years. And, you know, whether he was injured in the spring or not injured or what, and I just not going to have that debate. I just I don't think that making changes to a coaching staff at this point in time is warranted. I believe in our staff. I believe in our players, and we're going to find ways to improve. We're going to find ways to, you know, win after we find ways to improve.
Did mention earlier that Jacksonville was better coached. Wondering if you could elaborate on where some of those things are falling short with your staff compared to their staff as a whole.
I just, you know, every opportunity that they gain plays, they had a good play call, and, you know, we need to give our guys better chances in certain opportunities, whether that's explaining it to them better, coaching it better, and therefore getting better results. So that all falls on me, the performance and the coaching, it all falls on me, and I'm excited to get it fixed.
Thanks a lot.
All right, a lot to talk about there, a lot to unpack that there from there. So we will do that coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, we are brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet.
When it comes to not making changes on the coaching staff, you talk about, you know, just going back out there and coaching it and repping it and things like that. What gives you the confidence that coaching it and repping it with the same coaches?
Because I have the luxury of having played this game in this league. And I know what we're coaching. I know what we're teaching. I never blamed Dean Pease or Matt Patricia or Bill Belichick or Romeo Crennel or Rob Ryan. I mean, I couldn't get to the pass rusher, or I missed a tackle, or I went the wrong way. And that's the luxury that I have. Never blamed a coach for my let me finish and then you can interrupt me. And so I know what we're coaching and I know what we're teaching. I'm in the meetings. We're going to continue to find ways to help our players and to demand that they play with great effort and improve our details, improve our fundamentals, because I know that that's what works.
And that was just a fraction of the sass that we heard from Mike Vrabel and his media availability at the podium. Caroline Billy DeMace, we're live here at Pete and Terry's Tavern at Bridgestone Arena. Now, Jared initially asked Mike Vrabel if he anticipates to make coaching changes. Mike Vrabel just said no. And I thought, okay, well, you know, he can say no today. That might change tomorrow. But Mike Vrabel doubles down on that. Now, Mike Vrabel said he has the privilege of playing this sport at this level. Well, we also have the privilege of having somebody on our Here program that has played the sport at this level. Teammates, from a player's perspective, you've been there, you know, and you could probably reiterate the same sentiment that if you got a drop or maybe a missed opportunity, you can't always blame that on the coaches. But when do you blame things on the coaches? At what point is just coaching better and coaching things up and playing the music a little bit louder just not good enough?
I mean, when you don't see if you don't see the fruits of the labor, then it's like, okay, what are we doing?
Yeah.
You know, and listen, he's right from this standpoint of, hey, listen, if guys do what we are asking them to do, then, you know, we shouldn't have many problems. Now, they get paid just like we get paid. There are going to be some instances where we just get beat. But we can't beat ourselves even before the play gets going, which means jumping off sides, false starts, you know, as the play is going on, jumping in the wrong gap, missing tackles. He's right about that. But then also there is the coaching element of it. Are you putting the coaches there to make sure they put you in a position to succeed? Are you putting these young men or these men in a position to succeed every play? Are you giving them a chance every play? When guys go out there and they're fighting their tails off, but they don't see any fruits of them fighting their tails off, then ultimately, yeah, you do have to look above you, which is or to the side of you, which is the coaching staff. Are they doing enough to make sure players are in a position to succeed? That's basically what it boils down to. And if you're not, then you got to make changes. See, this is going to be – Vrabel is loyal to his coaching staff. He is. We saw what he stayed with the offensive coordinator an extra year when he shouldn't have. That's because of his loyalty. He stayed with other guys. That's because of his loyalty. He's staying with guys now. That is because of his loyalty. One thing we can't question, honestly, and that's why he keeps referring back to it, we can't question the coaching because we don't see it every day. We only see the product at the end. And we can say the product at the end doesn't look good, so we're blaming this person and this person. Well, he can always go back and say, well, we're coaching it. Yeah, y'all coaching it, but what are y'all coaching? You know, either the saying is either you're coaching it or you're allowing it. Right now, I'm not going to say they're coaching it, but damn it, I mean, there are things that are happening consistently out there that shouldn't be happening. And you get rid of a player when things happen too many times, you bench Fulton because why? He couldn't cover. He was doing things outside of what you wanted to do. So what you're saying is the coaching staff is blameless in all of this. That's what he's basically saying is, don't worry, we'll get it figured out. The coaches are not to blame for this. If guys are to do the things they're supposed to do, then we'll be okay. I get that part, but then there's a part of there's an element of the coaching that's involved with this too, and it just doesn't seem. And I get why he doesn't want to do it. I do. You don't want to throw your guys under the bus, your coaching staff under the bus, but you're throwing your players under the bus. You are.
I think he spends the whole press conference, and look, I gave him credit because he stands in there and takes all of these questions, which are all sort of designed to trap him into – contradictions or get him to throw somebody under the bus. And it's one thing to have that question asked two or three times, but he gets variations of those questions about 7 to 8 different times. It's put yourself in his shoes. You're trying to make the perfect answer every time. You're not going to. Mm-hmm. And so you're going to fall into a contradiction. He's not a, you know, he's not a guy that is a speech maker or a public speaker or a debate major. You know what I mean? Like, it's these press conferences kind of, I think, devolve into just we're going around in circles. The issue is one or a couple of things. Number one, first and foremost, they don't have enough good players to win. They're flat out not as good as the Jacksonville Jaguars. And number two, there are a couple things you can do when you're not getting what you're hoping for. Do you make a sacrificial person and change somebody on the staff just for the sake of change, or do you stick to your guns and say, I don't think coaching is the problem? That's his decision, and that's what he's going with right now. But this is just my opinion. Mm-hmm. I don't think they're losing because they're poorly coached. I think they're losing because they don't have good enough players. Now, the one
I think they're losing.
I think if you boil it down, I would say then you look a little more on the defensive side as to why they're not getting more from that group. I think there's more of a potential that's being missed on the defensive side.
But it boils down to if you've watched this team the last year and a half, 2 years, even when they were winning, what did I say? This roster's not good enough. From top to bottom, they're not good enough. They can't afford no injuries, because once they go to that second guy, you might as well forget it, because that guy hasn't progressed enough to be a starter or even a part-time starter. So to me, this falls on the coaching staff. It falls on the head coach. Yes, players need to play better. But these are your players. You went out and got these players when you knew your roster wasn't as good. You doubled down with hiring from within, and it seems like it's not working when it comes to the offensive line. You knew that this team, again, depth-wise, was not good. You didn't address it. So for me, listen, this is what you get paid for. You get paid to answer the hard questions. And you know you're going to get them. You know you're going to get them, especially when your team's not winning. So this falls on everybody. No one's exempt from getting the finger pointed toward them. The only person that I probably wouldn't point a finger toward on this team is the young guy, Will Levis. That's probably the only guy that I'm giving a pass to. Everybody else, you are to blame for what's going on with this team. Because either you went out and got the players, and the players are not performing, and whatever you do from a coaching standpoint, it's not working.
You are 3-14 in your last 17 games. Everyone is culpable. This team has not gotten better. This offensive line has not gotten better. Chigakonkwo, Treylon Burks, Nicholas Petit-Frere, they've all taken steps back. Arden Key was a difference maker for the Jags last season. He was a playmaker. He's not been a playmaker for you. That all falls on coaching. That this team has only gotten worse. And look, I'll be honest with you.
He's taking accountability for that. I don't think he's saying none of this is on me. I think he said several times, I have to coach better. We have to coach better. There's only so many times he can
but
say.
I don't think that being stagnant with the coaching staff and not making changes with the coaching staff is taking full accountability.
I hope he meant when the question was asked, and I would agree with him. I hope he meant I'm not making any changes as of now. I hope that's what he meant when he said I'm not looking to make any coaching changes, because right now making a coaching change ain't going
to
change anything. You know,
you
wait until after the season. So I hope that, okay, yeah, right now I am not moving on from anybody on my coaching staff. But at the end of the season, we're going to evaluate all y'all, and there should be some changes made.
I think so. I think that's fair. Has he made in-season changes to his coaching staff at any point?
Not since he's been here, not that I know of.
I don't remember maybe one, but I don't remember any, to be honest with you. They've never struggled like this, but I just don't think it's you're going to shake up the offensive line coach or the defensive line coach, and all of a sudden you're going to see different results. I don't think that's going to be the case.
I think it's more so about accountability and acknowledging that something is a problem and we need to do something about it. Whether that's today, whether that's next week, whether that's the end of the season, as long as there is proper accountability being made, because this team needs it. This team needs accountability. This team needs some changes because they're just not good enough. And yes, some of those changes need to happen on the roster. But when you're 3-14 in your last 17, the coaching staff is culpable for it too. Mike Vrabel included. But let's get into your phones on this coming up next. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Your reaction to Mike Vrabel's press conference and how you're feeling about Mike Vrabel now after this season, after the horrendous product that the Titans put out on the field on Sunday. We'll get into that coming up next. And you can join Jared Stillman, Chris Sanders, and Derek Mason at Teddy's Tavern this Sunday from 9:30 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. for our NFL pregame show. We'll break down the Titans' Week 12 matchup against the Panthers and give you the latest updates before the game. Our NFL pregame show is presented by Parman Tractor and Equipment and Beast Unleashed. Caroline, Willie, D. Mays. They join Jared Stillman, Chris Sanders, and Derek Mason at Teddy's Tavern this Sunday from 9:30 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. for our NFL pregame show. Just heard from Mike Vrabel at the podium. Want to get your thoughts on it. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Again, the question of the day, where are we at on Mike Vrabel? How do we feel about Mike Vrabel? Adam in Portland is on the line, and I know Adam has been going through it.
Let's go,
Thanks
Adam.
Thanks for calling in, Adam.
Yeah, I've been feeling it big time. So, all right, so just listening to that presser, like, this dude, I know he's feeling it. He sounds hurt. Like, he's hurt. We get it. You're hurt. Like, it's time to part ways, man. We could remember the good times. Like, we will not look. We appreciate what you've done. But this is – call the lawyer, man. This is over. Like, just part ways. Like, you can go on up there. Go to New England. Go where you want to be. You know, it doesn't have to be an ugly split. Like, it doesn't have to be an ugly breakup. If they'll give us something in return, that's a beautiful way to end that relationship. Like, give us something on the way out instead of us remembering, you know, we hang on to you 1 year too long like we did Tannehill and it gets ugly. No, man, just they want you. You know you want to be there. We don't need you anymore. So, yeah, get us somebody else, man. That's where I'm at with it. I don't think it needs to be ugly. I hear the hurt in his voice. Either that or he just looks at Jared and hates Jared. But I feel the hurt in that man's voice. And I'm just – I think it could be a pretty way for both of us to end it.
There might be a little bit of truth to both of those things.
Yes, exactly.
That does bring up something that if you're trying to be creative, I brought this up last week. It's time for a conversation with Amy. Maybe it's already happened behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. But I think – Mike Vrabel doesn't strike me as a guy that just wants to give up, right? He's gonna keep fighting as much as he can. But he knows how this whole thing works.
Mm-hmm.
He's seen it happen in any number of places. Maybe he hasn't had it firsthand as much, but sometimes it does get a little stale, and sometimes you don't have all the answers, and sometimes you don't have the horses, and the cycle is kind of done. And so – if that's the case, right? I asked this last week. If I'm Amy Adams, I still have the greatest respect for him. I didn't, in the last 2 weeks, just start disagreeing that he's a good coach, right? I think she believes in him.
Mm-hmm.
But does he want to go through what is going to have to happen now? They are going to be in a rebuild now. The rebuild word is a fair word. That's where they are. He mentioned in there giving some young guys a chance. Mm-hmm. That's where they're at. That's what they should do. And they're not going to win a whole lot more games. And it might be the best thing for them to pick in the top five or six. They're six right now. Mm-hmm. And that's okay because they can find a way to get more draft picks and they can start. But does he want to be the guy that tries to take them through that? Jeff Fisher went through it a couple times, but that's unusual, right, in one spot. What's much more usual is – a guy moves on. So if you're going to move on, then I do think you use Mike Vrabel as an asset and gain other assets. That would be the creative way of doing it. Don't just fire him and let somebody else pick him up. If somebody else likes him, then trade him. If he doesn't want to be the guy. Now, if you want him to be the guy that takes you through the fire, then okay.
This is not up to Mike Vrabel. You haven't done enough. Okay.
But if he's a commodity, if he's a commodity and other people want him.
You haven't done enough to warrant it be your decision whether you're here as a coach or not. You haven't won a damn Super Bowl. You haven't won an AFC Championship game. You haven't done anything to warrant me to give you the choice on whether you should be here or not.
Right. I that's a great point because usually that's not how it works. But what did Amy Adams do a year ago? She said, Mike Vrabel's the guy that knows what's going on. John Robinson is not the guy that
well,
knows
what's
going on.
Well, obviously that wasn't the case because this team.
But she, that was her.
Yeah,
she,
it was her decision.
She's got to save face somehow, doesn't she?
Yes and no from this standpoint. Yes, if you want to, if you don't want that firing of John Robinson to look even worse. You fired that guy, then you had to turn around and fire the coach. So, yes, from that standpoint, yeah, you want to save face. But you don't want to hold on, just like Adam said, you don't want to hold on to somebody, you know, a tad bit too long when you don't need to.
Yes.
So my thing is, listen, you had this. I'm sure Amy has had a conversation with him, Mike Vrabel, like a mid-season conversation with him. What's going on? How I want the team to look, you know. How I want it to look moving forward, the coaching staff, the players. And now there's going to be another conversation had at the end of the season based on the conversation that we had in the middle of the season and things hadn't gotten any better. So we had this big talk in the middle of the season to address halfway point, where are we at, where do we look to go, can we improve? Okay, whatever was said in the middle of the season. Now at the end of the season, now is a whole different conversation because obviously it hasn't improved moving forward. So me as an owner, now I got to think, listen, it ain't up to you if you want to be here or not. The decision is mine to make whether I want to retain you, whether I believe in your message that not only that you're preaching to the team, that but the message that you preach to me. Do I now believe that moving forward? Because the way this team is constructed, they're not put together to win ball games consistently enough to win first your division and then get in the playoffs.
I think the best way for Amy Adams Trunk to save face isn't about making the decision to fire John Robinson look better. It's about doing what's best for the football team. And I think right now what's best for the football team is not the status quo. And if you believe in Mike Vrabel as your coach of the future, then you know what you're doing right now isn't enough. You're not winning. You're a bad football. You're one of the worst teams in the National Football League. There are teams in the NFL that are actively trying to tank, actively trying to be bad to get a better draft pick. You're trying to win. As far as we understand, you're trying to win.
So they did at the beginning of the season, but I think it's pretty evident now that they can't win. So what do you do? I think that's where you're at.
I think they'd like to win if they could, but they're bad. They're not good.
Their offensive line isn't going to give them a chance to win a whole lot of games. Now, Sunday may be different. They're playing a 1-9 team. But I think the realistic thing is how do you gain more – to me, the biggest thing is how do you gain more assets for next year to help your quarterback along? You're going to have more salary cap space next year. And right now you could use a few more draft picks. And if you're picking high, you can use that – pretty high first-round pick to wheel that into more picks.
And if those picks come in the form of Mike Vrabel going to New England, then so be it. Then so be it. We'll chat with Teron Davenport coming up next. Caroline Willie DeMays, 1025-1063 The Game.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.